Going to continue with a brief look at spiritual gifts. We began before Pentecost on the issue of spiritual gifts. If you'd like to turn to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, we're going to take a brief look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and some of the early verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And to review, I'd like to just take a look at what we learned in verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. And we looked at three things that we could be ignorant about. If we have assets that God has given to us and we are not aware of them, or not using them, then in a sense they're frozen assets. And they need thawed because there's too much fun in front of us. Repurposing misspent assets. There are times when we can spend our lives on things that are not fulfilling and they do not bring long-lasting joy or happiness in life. But there are some things about what God has built into the body of Christ in serving each other, in serving in our community, in our world, that provide lasting satisfaction and joy. And then the third thing, stewarding the right use of those assets. That's what Paul is actually addressing throughout this letter that he wrote to the Corinthians. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. We looked as well at this idea as he helped this group of people in Corinth reflect on their former state and the change that Christ had made. Some of them were former idol worshipers, others were former Jesus haters. They had all become children of God in the same fellowship. Verses 2 and 3 address that. And then thirdly, we looked at an expansion of the view of giftedness, how the Spirit graces people. There are diverse capacities that we have. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diverse contexts in which we serve. That is where these gifts are expressed. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are diverse effects in verse 6, diverse kinds of working, that is how it's worked out, how it begins to manifest itself, these gifts, but the same God works all of them in all men. So those are some of the things that we learn about that. The next thing I'd like to look at are verses 7 through 11. Would you just read with me those verses? Verses 7 through 11, you please read aloud. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one in the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, for those of you who like and notice repetition, what do you see repeated here in this text? The same Spirit, okay? What are we talking about here? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit. How many ways is the same Spirit talked about in this? The same Spirit is one of them. One Spirit. The Spirit. Through the Spirit, by the Spirit, or by means of the Spirit. Do you think Paul could be trying to make a point here? Some people almost think, did he get a little monotonous about this? Why would anybody make such a point here? Why would anybody make such a point? What's that? We're thick-headed. They don't get it. You can teach by repetition, sure. We could take care of our own spirit.
That's all that matters.
The Holy Spirit is all that matters. Can you expand that for me?
Without that, there's nothing.
Without that, there's nothing. Very good point, because these people had forgotten, I think, that. Remember, in the opening chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says to the Corinthians, you don't lack any spiritual gift. Fascinating. This church had them all, or all that they needed. You don't lack any one of them. But here in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. What a fascinating thing. Something was missing. They had spiritual gifts. They knew about spiritual gifts. You'll see as we continue in 1 Corinthians that the gifts were active. The gifts were being operated in the church fellowship and church life, but gifts had become a divisive subject. Gifts had gotten to the point where they were being misused. And so he's making a correction here. Whatever you think spiritual gifts are about, they are dependent on this one Spirit. It's all about what God is doing, what God is up to. It's not about me. It's not about me.
And it's not about one particular gift.
And it's not about one particular gift. Now, that's a good and another important corrective. The Corinthians had made a big thing about a few gifts. And he's giving a great list. He's given us 9 gifts in this list to show that there's more than just one or two. Now, you put on your thinking caps just a little bit. Why would he want to do that? Why would he want to do that? I'll come back to that. But why would he want to emphasize that there are more than just a few gifts? So that those who didn't have those particular gifts wouldn't feel not gifted. Okay? For those of you who couldn't maybe hear that, so all those other gifts wouldn't go to waste? Cool. Now let's take a look at this passage again. Look through that. We've seen repeated words. What do you see here in this text that suggests that we are graced or gifted in unique ways? Okay. We're graced in unique ways, Each of us are gifted in very unique ways.
Some people have all those gifts. Some people have all those gifts. I heard Heidi Baker speak one time. Heidi Baker's a missionary in Zimbabwe. She has all those gifts. And when she taught, she had to lay on the floor and get the mic on the floor with her because the Holy Spirit was so heavy on her she couldn't stand up. It wasn't physical. It was spiritual.
Huh. Thank you. The thing about having any gift is that it comes with great responsibility. Very important.
The Spirit gives out those gifts to us as He determines and only gives us the ones that we're built to handle also.
It's custom fit. It's custom fit. Think about the implications of that. It's custom fit. What about our text kind of addresses the idea that we are graced or gifted as God determines and not as we wish? What do you see in the text? Verse 11. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Okay, so let's think about that a little bit. Even today, there probably are certain gifts or gifted persons that get a lot of attention. Oh, to be gifted like that is kind of the wish of our hearts when we look at somebody else's gifting. But if it is the Spirit who's gifting, as you said, uniquely and personally, just what we need, then it's custom fit. And in a sense, we wrestle with God's wisdom. We depreciate His choices when we disparage the gifts that we have. What do you see in the text that suggests that this giving of grace gifts is something that God does actually in the person? What's that?
The manifestation of the Spirit.
Okay, the question is, what do you see in the text that implies that God is at work in the individual?
Distributing to each one individually.
He distributes to each one. Individually, okay? So if you're in Christ, like Brenda said this morning, if you're breathing, or kind of hinted at that, if you're in Christ, there is this gift that you have. And what in the text indicates to you that we are graced or gifted for each other's sake? Verse 7. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So we're graced for each other's benefit. It's not for ourselves. These gifts in me are for your sake or for the sake of other people. It's how God works in me to do something for others. Now, I love that word manifestation. It's a wonderful word. It's the idea of Spirit comes into view through you and these gifts. This is where God is at work. And if the Spirit is in it, what will it produce? The common good. So when we exercise spiritual gifts, the body is built up. And the question always must be, to what extent is my presence and my involvement contributing to the health and growth of the family of God and or the kingdom of God as God expresses his rule both in the church and in the community and in the world? Okay, so here are our thoughts then. We're graced in infinitely unique ways. We're graced as God determines. We're graced as God works in each of us, and we're graced for each other's sake. I'd like you to look quickly with me at some implications of this. I'd love to wrestle with this a little bit more because you have such great ideas, and I always miss something when I start making lists of implications of these things that we've just talked about, but here are a few. Implications of those things. We can be gifted but ignorant about God's gifts. You can see that. Opening chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, or verse 7, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. That the calling and gifts require utter dependency upon God. That there is discovery that goes on in figuring out God's calling. When you hear the word vocation, what do you think of? Work? A skill? A livelihood? You know, the term vocation was borrowed from the church language. It means a calling. To call or to summons. It implies that somebody's doing the calling. God is at work calling you. Vocation. It's an occupation to which a person is specifically drawn or into which he or she is suited, maybe trained, qualified, and gifted. It was almost predominantly used in religious contexts. It originated with Christianity. Vocation is the central belief that God has created each of us with gifts and talents oriented toward certain purposes in life. In a broader sense, then, Christian vocation includes the use of one's gifts wherever you are, in your job, in your profession, in your family life, in your church, civic commitments, for the sake of the common good, building up people. That's vocation. You are called. You have a calling. You are being summoned. I'd like to especially speak to our young people. Those of you who are thinking, who are graduating, I shouldn't say it that way. There are a few here today, and I don't want you to feel singled out. But here's the thing. In high school, sometimes as we go along, young people in Christian homes get the idea that when I get to a certain age, then I'll make all these decisions for myself. And some of those decisions are whether or not to be engaged in a setting like this. I'll get to choose for myself. And very often people think of that as kind of a liberating thing. I choose for myself what I'm going to do. What about your vocation? What about your calling? What about God's call on your life? Instead of seeing something as, I come up to this point and I graduate and then there's this great discontinuous break in my life and I go off and I do something else and I may return to that back there, I would like you to think about graduation as stepping into the full life of the church, into your calling. You are called. Does it matter that you're here? You ever wonder about that? Does it really matter if you're here? It matters. It matters to me that you're here. I've learned to love you and play with you and clown around with you in youth group. But it matters to me, it matters to this body of believers, because if you are not here, if your giftings are not here, if you are not fulfilling your calling and you happen to be a part of this fellowship, we are the worse. We lack what we need in you. It matters that you're here deeply. That's just an implication. An implication of God's call. And we need to look a bit how it is that God is working in you and me to fulfill that call. It should work out into gratitude, affirmation of self and others, a sense of completion rather than competition when we are interdependently working with each other. The aim of service is the building of others up. As I mentioned, if the Spirit is in it, it will benefit the body, and it matters whether or not you're here and you're engaged. It matters to the body of Christ. Would you join me in a word of prayer as Brenda comes and closes us with a song? Would you join me in prayer? Someone will be along to pick up the friendship and worship cards and bring them. So if you'd pass those to the center aisle, that would be helpful. We thank you, precious Lord, for your calling, that there is something bigger than ourselves afoot, that there is something grand. Your great and creative Holy Spirit at work in ways that are amazing and wondrous. Help us to not take lightly the call that you've placed on our lives. Fill up in us what lacks. For those who've served and who've served to the point that Brenda mentioned, they are weary, I pray that you would give them rest and perspective and help them to learn how to utilize their gift in ways that create steady progress rather than burnout. For those who are yet to find out how it is that you want to use them in your church or in your kingdom, we pray that you'd tend them and help us to support each other as we find out that process. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your gifts. May you be glorified in your church. Amen.
Amen.